Hello and welcome to Classical Music Spotlight. I'm Raymond Bechet. Although many of these podcasts are often planned weeks or even months in advance, one of the joys of this job is that sometimes I just run into people who I realize would make a great podcast interview. And so it is with today's guest, the British composer Nigel Clark. I knew of his music. There's a really wonderful CD out on Naxos, came out a few months ago, with music for wind band, strings, and solo violin, but I'd never met him. And the thought that I would meet him hadn't even crossed my mind. Until I was at the Midwest Band Convention in Chicago just before Christmas. The Midwest Convention is a ginormous gathering of wind band musicians that usually attracts something like 15,000 people. Great swarming masses of wind players. So there I was, huddled on one side of a hallway trying not to be swept off my feet by the sea of people. I started chatting with the gentleman beside me, who was also waiting for that particular throng to pass. It turns out the gentleman was Nigel Clark, and in the course of that conversation it became apparent I really needed to interview him for one of these podcasts. Well, a few days ago I did just that. I talked to him on the phone at his home in Brussels, and that's the conversation you'll hear today. You seem to use a very collaborative process in composing, often working closely with the musicians. Why is this important to you?
I think every composer is different, Raymond. For me, I very much enjoy the whole collaboration and project when writing a piece of music. I think there are composers like John McCabe that probably can get it right absolutely first time. Well, I enjoy seeing what a player can do, trying different things out and basically seeing what comes out of experimentation. So for me, collaboration is absolutely imperative to my my composition process.
The music on this, just this one CD, has been inspired by a wide variety of things. There's Japanese, Chinese, South American influences and culture. Where did this kind of global interest begin?
I think the truthful answer is I don't know. This sort of eclectic mania of mine, I think, has sort of come about over a long period of time. It might have come through travel. I lived in Hong Kong for a year in 19... 87 to 88, and I have traveled quite a lot with the British Council, and that's inspired me. So, for example, The Miraculous Violin that's on this CD was written for the Zagreb soloists in Croatia. So that piece in particular has a real Balkans feel to it. Samurai, which is on this disc also, is based on Japanese Kodo drumming. And that came from a visit to Seoul in Korea in the early 90s. And I heard this amazing Japanese drumming there, which directly I heard it, I thought, this is something I've got to put into one of my Western compositions. So I suppose it's travel in many ways that's influenced the music that I write.
You mentioned the piece, The Miraculous Violin. Can you give us a bit more background about how that piece developed, how it came about?
To start off with, I've worked with an amazing violinist called Peter Shepherd Skevitt, and we met in 1984 at Royal Academy of Music. And I know he's done several other Naxos discs. I think he's done the George Rochberg Violin Concerto. But I've known Peter since 1984, and I actually wrote my first commissioned piece for him, which was a string orchestra piece then. The Miraculous Violin came about through workshop with Peter and the Zagreb soloists. It was a British Council commission, and it was for a string orchestra, the Zagreb soloists, who'd never really gone through the collaborative process before with a composer. My first visit with Peter meant we turned up without any music and asked the Zagreb soloists to play what they knew best, and that was from folk music to their own repertoire, so I could get a feel of the way that they performed and worked. And it was from that process that I then went away, sketched out some ideas, then returned with very rough sketches, and then worked with them on those sketches before then fine-tuning the piece ready for performance. So I suppose I was very privileged to have more than one crack at the whip with them. And I think the piece has really benefited from that process. I think it's much better to do it that way for me than to turn up with a finished piece in a more take-it-or-leave-it situation.
Now, I also want to play a bit of the solo violin piece, Lulan. Can you give us a bit of background on how that piece came into being?
Well, Lulan was another trip on my travels with Peter. Peter and I tend to do a lot of musical trips together. And we visited a place called Urumqi, which is the regional capital of Xinjiang province in China. And there we experienced a real melting pot of musical culture. You've got Arabic influences, you've got Western influences, as well as Chinese influences in this part of China. It's on the northwestern side of China, backing onto Afghanistan, that region. What was amazing was really seeing how, I suppose, Chinese culture had been corrupted by other cultures. Now, Lulam is a tune that I use in a little folk tune, which is not original. It comes from that region. And we heard that being performed at a cultural event that we went to. So my task, I felt, was to try and write a piece that remained Chinese in style while using this folk tune, but putting it into my own contemporary language. That sounds a little complex for such a short piece, but I do believe it worked. And I think what you do here through experimentation is the Western violin sounding more like a Chinese air hu. And I think that is what is fun about that piece.
Together with violinist Peter Skjervid, you've done many workshops for performers and composers. It sounds like you do them together. What kinds of things do you do in these workshops?
Every case is different. When Peter and I turn up, we never really know what the experience of the musicians is that's going to be in front of us. So, for example, Peter and I visited Kosovo recently, Pristina. What is so exciting when you visit these different places is finding unknown talent. There's always talented composers in these places, and musicians that are willing to do, I suppose, submit themselves to your experimentation. I think the fun thing about being a musician is not necessarily about being British or American or German or Kosovan. You tend to be a musician and part of that tribe. So wherever you go, you meet like-minded people. What I try and do with Peter and vice versa is never to necessarily influence the style that composers and musicians are working in, but to perhaps open them up to other influences. But I think it's important that they keep their artistic soul. And I suppose from my point of view, I'm a little bit of a thievish magpie, so there's always something that I go away with from those other cultures.
The final piece on this CD is titled Black Fire. It's absolutely fantastic. Can you tell me a bit about the story of this piece? It strikes me in a way as being kind of spooky.
Well, Black Fire is what I call a personal piece. I try and divide my music up into two categories. Useful music, which can often be for wind orchestras, music that can be played in normal everyday concerts. And then there's personal music, which is music I'd write even if a commission didn't exist. Black Fire certainly comes into that bracket. It was written again for Peter Shepherd Skjervid, and this time we wanted to exploit the area of working with a wind orchestra. In my early days, I used to be a military musician. I used to be in the band of the Irish Guards, and previous to that, I was a junior musician in the band of the Royal Marines. This piece is based on John Milton's Paradise Lost. And though I don't want to go into too many of the motives behind writing it, it's, I suppose, a prequel to the Bible, Paradise Lost, certainly the first two books of the set is. And it deals with the devil after he's been cast out from hell, when he's gathering an army of, I suppose, dark or black angels to retake heaven. And I put the violinist as the protagonist in this story, as the devil, I suppose. And there's a long history of the violin being the devil. My personal challenge, I wanted to see if a violin would balance against a traditional wind orchestra. I know that Kurt Weill's written a violin concerto, which I think was in 1923, but there is a fantastic example of that working. But I wanted to try and see if that would work within the language that I write in.
All of the music in this podcast comes from a recent CD featuring music by composer Nigel Clark, who has also been my guest in this podcast. The CD features music for various combinations of wind instruments or strings, often with solo violin. It's with the string ensemble Longbow, the band of Her Majesty's Royal Marines Plymouth, and the terrific solo violin playing of Peter Shepherd Skjervid. Just as Nigel Clark's travels have taken him around the world, the music on this CD ventures into many very different sound worlds. If you'd like to hear the whole CD, it's available through all fine record stores, online retailers, and download sites. The Naxos catalog number is 8.570429. That's about all for this podcast. My thanks to Nigel Clark for taking the time to chat. And thanks to you for taking the time to listen. To go out, here's the very ending of Samurai for wind ensemble.